Welcome to College Crosscast, and we're here to put a nice fancy bow on 2017, the worst year ever if you were a Twitter user, according to Twitter. I don't know, there's been worse years, like, I don't know, 1939 maybe. But anyway, I'm Ryan McDonald.
I'm Chris Ostremsky.
Hey folks, how you doing? This is Aerie Barrister.
And we'll look back at the year that was. I know we've probably done about 18 year in reviews already this year just on lacrosse alone, so we're spreading it out here on this special edition of College Crosscast. And welcome to College Crosscast. As it's New Year's week. We had Christmas earlier in the week. Hope everybody had a Merry Christmas and got everything they wanted from Santa and had good times with families. How was your
guys? Absolutely. Merry Christmas to both of you guys, of course.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Happy belated Christmas, Hanukkah, Festivus, Kwanzaa,
and now we're still all the those third, who celebrate whatever. We're still in the third night of Kwanzaa.
Still relevant. Probably fourth when people listen to this, but still.
Shout out to the Orthodox Christians who celebrate in January Christmas. So. Yeah.
Happy Boxing Day to our Canadian, British, and Australian listeners.
Everybody in Canada.
Shout out to the Canadians.
So how's everyone's Christmases?
It was fine and uneventful on Christmas Day, except the Eagles winning. We had Christmas Eve dinner at our place. We had to sit and fish just because my mom's Italian, and I'm partially Italian. And then we just hung around, me, my mom, and dad, and my dog on Christmas Day. Open presents, watched the Sixers beat the the Knicks, and then went over to Jersey to my dad's side of the family for a little Christmas Day get-together, watched part of the Eagles game before coming home, and having my eyes burnt in that second half by the Eagles Raiders second half, because that was a disgusting half.
If that game went to overtime, that would have been worse than getting cold for Christmas. Thankfully, Chris, it didn't go to overtime.
Chris, where did you go?
Jersey. wasn't expecting that. I thought you were. I honestly don't. Yeah. No.
I was in Jersey most of mine, so shout out to the Garden State. Just saw Star Wars. Star Wars fans. Oh, all right, Chris, you saw that. Good. We don't need to banter about that. I know Ryan's not.
Yeah, wait for the next podcast you do with Adam.
Yeah, bring it back. The Eagles game, obviously, which was one of the highlights, even though it was a low light for most of it. But no, it was good. It's cold here.
Listen, I got one thing about the Star Wars thing. When Kylo Ren was talking to Rey, and Kylo started his hand out, I can say this because you see in the previews. The first thing he said was, "I want you to vote for Kristaps Porzingis in the All-Star game." And then Rey declined and said, "No, I want to vote for TJ McConnell." And they got in this humongous lightsaber fight, and it was probably the best part of the
Imagine
movie.
Imagine caring about the NBA All-Star Game vote within the Atlantic Division.
CJ McConnell, hashtag NBA vote. Just putting that out there.
so wonderfully on brand. Shout out Joel and Ben as well. Vote for them. We're so close to New Year's. Are you guys... Do you go into the city, Ryan, or are you just hanging out on the island? Or?
Hell no. You couldn't pay me enough to go into Times Square, especially when this... I don't know. I think I'm hanging low this year. It doesn't look like my friends are doing much. We do an annual charity fundraiser on Boxing Day, a little bit of a bar crawl, to raise money for a different charity each year. So we did that this week. So that's kind of replaced New Year's as a big thing. Past couple years, we've gone to like this overcrowded place, and I feel like no one's really that hyped for New Year's Eve this year, and I don't really mind either because the 4:25 slate of NFL games this weekend is going to be nuts. It's going to be the best red zone show ever.
Oh my God.
But yeah, looking like hanging low this year. Not going to complain.
Well, I'm also having you low because I got to work New Year's Day starting at 7 a.m. till 3 p.m.
I was just. Are you doing Mummers, Chris, or are you doing the game?
I'm just going to KYW. And there. Yeah. What a fun way to have New Year's.
You're right. You're right on the main order. You're on the main artery of information.
That is facts, yes.
But I mean, yeah, New Year's Day, what a stacked sports day you got. You got the Winter Classic, even though there's no hype to it. Then the World Darts Championship Final. And then the college football playoff semifinals.
It's just,
Telling you.
Just relax.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's looking more and more like MVG versus Phil Taylor in an epic final.
Listen, I know the darts are big, but I gotta put a pitch out to the Outback Bowl. Because listen, shout out to the Big Ten, because if the Big Ten wins, everyone gets a free Bloomin' Onion, or not Bloomin' Onion, excuse me, because that sucks, coconut shrimp.
Are you hating on Ryan Nanny?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Listen.
You gotta root for the Onion just because Nanny got it.
Listen, I like Nanny, but do I care about... I don't have feelings for him. I have feelings for my taste buds, and my taste buds say, you need Michigan to win this because coconut shrimp are the OG and best appetizer at Outback Steakhouse over the Bloomin' Onion. So, go Michigan, handle the victors. They're also lacrosse school, so fits the brand.
But let's face it, the best appetizer at Outback is the Copacabana wings.
I have not had them, because the coconut shrimp or reign supreme.
Okay, so...
French onion soup is also good.
Before we get into our year in review, and before we get it, actually, we're going to start off with the 2018 preseason poll that we did, because now we're going to be pushing our own agenda, apparently. I guess now we got to go exclusively using our rankings and throwing off everybody, right?
It was wonderful that when... shout out to Providence.
But before we get to that... The last podcast, if you listen, it's Jake and I doing nothing but inside jokes. But we did tear Chris a couple new ones.
Oh, we're gonna do this now.
Yeah, so
let's save that for the end. That's for the fans.
Yes, let's save that for the end. That's a very pop.
Yeah, this is great. Okay. But I do want to add. This is some before we do get to more lacrosse stuff. Like Chris, as more of a Philly guy than I, shout out Jersey, of course, for me. But the Mummers Parade, I was just looking online. It may be postponed because it's so cold. Which. I mean, that just sounds nuts, because these people are, like, raring to go.
They better perform. Because it's 364 days of hard work for one day that, like, not a lot of people care about anymore, so.
Well, they could just save it for Wing Bowl Day, I don't know.
That they could do that, because it's just another disgusting event with another disgusting event. Whoa, hold on, buddy. Hold on, buddy. Hold on.
We're going to win the Super Bowl. It's going to be wonderful. The parade is going to be half a block from me. Like, this is wonderful. Like, you can't. This is almost the extension of the year of Ryan McD, after all of Ryan's great takes started the fall. So, if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, that would be the creme de la creme.
No, wait. For those of us like me that don't really know Philadelphia culture, what's the Mummers Parade? It's just a parade on New Year's.
It's literally
that's why I wanted Chris to wanted him to clear the lane. Like you know this more than I do.
Yeah, so it's literally a parade, but it's got a lot of slack in previous years because it's kind of like been a little bit racist to blacks and kind of like sexist.
Wait, it's a racist parade. Thanks for explaining everything. Philadelphia has a racist New Year's parade. That sounds on brand.
No. But Jesus, there's been like some comments from like some of the performers. They've been sexist and racist in the few years, so they're trying to make it all equal and whatnot. But it's a folk festival parade. They have like these fancy brigades, and comic brigades, and string bands, and these are pretty much local clubs. I'm just reading this from the Wikipedia page, so excuse me if I'm getting some of this wrong, but they wear, like, elaborate costumes to perform routines and some movable scenery. It takes months to complete. They have, like, banjos and saxophones, trombones, maybe trumpets or whatever. And it's usually in, like, South Philadelphia. It's, like, a big South Philly thing. So, yeah. Pretty much, it's just... And a lot of people drink during it.
They're... it's not, I don't think many people go like go to sleep from the night before, or you know, maybe there's like a power nap around like 3 a.m. But yeah,
the power nap is the pregame half hour later.
It is. It's 300 years has been part of like Philadelphia culture for New Year's Day, and it's only been officially sanctioned since 1901. But right. It's nuts. So anyway, hopefully it's not postponed. It has been postponed two dozen times. Shout out to Philly.com that has a paywall. So I'm going to Penn Live for this information.
That's why you have incognito windows in Chrome.
No. Oh, yeah, of course.
So the Mummers Parade. Okay. We have the... I thought it was like the Mummers. I thought it was less like they were all in like comedic costumes or whatever. But looking at it, it looks like
that's kind part of
multi...
It
looks like a pretty multicultural type thing, even though it's racist, so...
It's not... we're just going to block this whole part out. Skip the Mummers.
Alrighty, so moving on to our 2018 poll... the college cross poll, which is now a thing, because we knew this was going to happen. We're going to show love to teams that maybe some of the other polls don't, and then they're going to take it as an official one. So now we're going to have to do our own thing and confuse the hell out of all of our listeners in season with our rankings being the exclusive one used, even though we vote in the media poll. So I'll personally stick to the media, but we could also use the... our own poll, but whatever. So here's our...
We'll probably have the our number and then a slash the media number second because we're number one.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah. There's still going to be aggregations and everything. So
oh, definitely, yeah, by that. Far.
Okay, yeah.
But now, because like Adam made a good point last year. He's like, we all like voted. He's like, but why is it there? Just, why don't we just average it out?
Average it out, yeah. So we did that this year. So our top 20 poll to begin the year. Excuse me. This is the aggregate of all of our votes. Duke at number one, Albany 2, Maryland 3, Denver also at 3, Rutgers 5, Yale at 6, Notre Dame 7, Syracuse 8, Ohio State 9, Penn State 10, Hopkins 11, UNC 12, Towson 13, Loyola 14, Army 15, Virginia 16, Providence 17, Brown 18, BU 19, and Princeton 20.
I'm happy with that.
I'm happy
right?
with
yeah,
that.
It's
too.
Pretty
I think
solid.
I think that's a reasonable top 20.
I know some people would have liked to see Virginia not ranked at all, Mr. Jake. But oh wait, never mind.
UVA was my 21 or 22. I'm a little allow me to put on my skepticals about them.
Yep. But I guess if it was last year, it would probably be Jake and Adam because they didn't like Virginia. Right at all, but yeah, I'm also happy that UNC, the greatest 500 team of all time, according to a lot of people last year, is 12 and not in the top 10. Because my God, if they could be like 8-8 and lose to like the greatest teams and just beat like VMI 8 times, and they could still be in the top 20.
The four ACC teams in top 10, it's hard to justify.
You can justify three of them. You can justify
exactly.
Duke,
I get
two.
Yeah.
Three is a reasonable, that's a reasonable man.
I would agree.
I can see the three. I like Syracuse, I think Syracuse higher than both of you guys, right? Like,
yeah, I think Syracuse had a conservative 10. I think Syracuse is going to be fluctuating between 8 and 13 the first half of the season before they come into their own.
Duke, that's like kind of a given. And then, yeah, Notre Dame still looks good, and they're going to be younger. So that's those three that I think. But then you go four. So, you know, I guess UVA in the top 20 is fine, but, like, you know, some people have, like, closer to 10, you know what I mean, than 20. So
yeah.
It is what it is. But
I mean, I thought that, like, at first, like, oh, everyone's putting Ohio State too low, and then I figured, maybe 11's actually just right for them. Like, I feel like even though with Towson's losses, that they're a system team with Natalyn. So
yeah.
I think they are still going to be a top 10 team as long as they have Natalyn at the helm with that system and still with those athletes. I mean, they're going to take a step down from last year to start, but, I mean, they're going to be there. When all is said and done, I'm just going to go with my poll. I think Albany's the top team right now, even though they have question marks on D, if you have an overpowering offense like that, that can make up for some lack of defensive firepower. So I like Albany at 1, Duke at 2, Denver 3, Maryland 4. Duke and Denver are all kind of a little bit interchangeable. I know Duke could be number 1 as well, but I just like Albany a little bit more than Duke. But Duke's definitely going to be a top 3 team for the title. Denver's got a lot of firepower on both sides of the wall to go. Maryland, even Maryland, I just put it 4. They are losing a lot of guys, but they're going to be in the Final Four hunt, definitely. And I think Yale and Rutgers is 5 and 6. I think Yale, you know, they got Ben Reeves again, and they almost pulled it off against Syracuse. And, you know, I think they could have given Towson some fits. I know I picked Towson. Oh, no, I picked Penn State to go into the Final Four. But I feel like Syracuse was going to be more susceptible to get fall into Towson's trap in the quarterfinal than Yale would, because Yale's a little bit more deliberate. And, I mean, now, another year of experience, that heartbreak from last year in their hand, in their heads. You know, I think Yale's going to be tough to beat, especially given that the Ivy's going to be in a little bit of a feeling out process throughout the season. Yale's going to take big advantage of that, I think. Notre Dame at 7. I think they're solid. Penn State at 8. I feel like Penn State's a little underrated in some of the spots. So I think 8's a little bit where they're at. They just need to show a little bit more consistency, especially towards the end of the season. But I think Penn State's definitely going to be there. As I explained that with Towson at 9. Syracuse, as I said, is going to fluctuate between 8 and 13 the first half of the year as they figure themselves out. Probably rack up a loss or two by St. Patrick's Day, but then come ACC play, they'll be a bit better. Kind of like every other Syracuse team. I feel like, you know, they start off a little bit slow, but then come into their own around St. Patrick's Day, around the Hopkins game, and then go from there. So starting them off at 10. Ohio State at 11. I think they're solid. UNC at 12. You know, they're returning a lot of guys. But I don't want to get too carried away on the UNC hype train. So I think, you know, front end of the 11 to 20 sounds about right. Same with Hopkins. You know, I just feel like Hopkins is better teams in the Big Ten than them. So 13, I think's kind of where they're at. Quality win Loyola at 14 again. They're solid, but just not enough to break into the top 10 yet. I like Army at 15. I think I boosted Army a little bit higher than others, but they're looking good. Brown at 16. You know, again, the Ivy League being in a little bit of a feeling out process to start the year, that's going to help them out in winning games early in the year. That offense, I like BU at 17. I don't think they're the best team in the Patriot League yet, but they are showing a lot of promise, especially after last year. Nova at 18, Providence at 19. I feel like the Big East is going to have some really good sleeper teams that could knock off Denver. I was also considering Marquette. I know Marquette was losing a lot of guys, but, you know, they're a well-coached bunch, and I think they'll be back in the conversation of the Big East before all is said and done. But I like Nova and Providence first, and then I have Richmond at 20. I think Richmond, clear favorites in the SoCon, and should be good. I was also considering Marquette. I was also considering Virginia, and I was also considering Princeton. I feel like Virginia, I need to see where that defense is at. They'll be back in the top 20 pretty soon, but I just feel like as right now, they're just not there yet compared to some of these other mid-major teams. But give it a couple weeks, I think, into the season, I think they'll be back in the top 20. Marquette, I just got to see how they respond in the beginning of the year with their losses, but they're just on the outside looking in. And Princeton should be good, but I just don't think top 20 just yet. But win against Hofstra will definitely get them into the top 20 to at the end of February.
I'll probably go next.
I was also considering Hofstra as well for a little bit too. I mean, they got great goaltending there for the Pride, but I think there's some better teams in the Colonial than Hofstra right now, this point in time. So Hofstra Princeton winner will likely get into the top 20 when the season actually begins.
Perfect. All right, I'm going to go quickly with mine. Duke 1, I think top to bottom, they're the best team overall. Just one question mark is at the faceoff X without Kyle Rowe, who takes over for that spot. But other than that, I think their defense is solid. Danny Fowler's been improving every year since taking over for Luke Aaron his freshman year, his redshirt freshman year, I should say. Albany, too, they have an explosive attack. They have TD Ireland at faceoff. They return their defense and their goalie. I don't think they're as good as Duke overall because they're not really that seasoned for the most part. The Hoka's going to be freaking phenomenal. But I would not be surprised if they make the championship weekend this year. Maryland 3, they lose a lot of guys at attack, but they just reload their big powerhouse team. I'll go with that. Rutgers is 4. I'm a big Rutgers fan right now. Shout out to Jersey. 5, I think they might even win the Big Ten, to be quite honest with you. Denver, 5, best Big East team out there. I don't think that's really a big question mark. Yale at 6, they have Ben Reeves, they have Caudette, Kotler, a bunch of other, Jackson Morrill. Their attacks are going to be really nice. They have a lot of good guys that could go to attack. They might move them up to midfield, and their defense is solid as usual. Notre Dame, 7, kind of mad on this, to be quite honest. I know they thankfully, they keep Garnsey, and they have a lot of their scoring back. They just need to figure out at attack. They just need to figure out who's going to replace Sergio Perkovic. Brendan Collins was a guy that we saw earlier branch out from the second line midfield to the first. Pierre Byrne has some questions after last year's slow start. We'll see how he bounces back. And then goalie, because Shane Doss is gone. I'm not sure who their starter is this year, and I think they played a backup last year, but or some parts of Slayer, just forget his name. But Notre Dame 7, Syracuse 8. Mom's just going to hit them hard, of course, and I wouldn't expect to see them lose a game or two, as Ryan said before the Rutgers game, I guess, St. Paddy's Day. Ohio State 9, they lose some guys that might be a little bit overranked, but we'll see how they are in the first few games of the year. Hopkins 10, they're Hopkins. The world's greatest 500 team from last year, North Carolina at 11. They do return some good guys. They do lose Luke Goldstock, Stephen Bones Kelly, and Brian Balcom, all three, and Pafani. So that's 4 big guys that they lose. They need to get some guys to step up. I know Jack Pozzolo, we faced him in the ACC semifinals. He's going to be a really good goalie, I have a feeling. So they have that bright spot. Loyola 12, Pat Spencer, cool. Army West Point 13, I really think they can make a mark and beat Loyola this year to win the Patriot League. It's just a question mark of goaltending for Loyola. I think A.J. Barreto is a better goalie than Jacob Stover, but I think you could make an argument that they're kind of similar in regards to performance. Penn State 14, their attack's going to be stud again. They just need to find a guy to replace Nick Aponte. And Grant Ament looks like to be a great attackman as a junior. 2015, they lose their offense, but they get some transfers. See how they are. Brown 16, I like Brown. Phil Goss showed me a little bit of improvement as the year went by. He'll be a sophomore. Stephen Hudak, LaSalle College High School product, taking a big step forward in the Ivy League tournament and later on in the season. Watch out for him to get a starting midfielder spot. BU 17, they lose some guys, but they also return some quality players. Virginia 18, I think you'll see some strides in their performance, but I'm not sure if they win an ACC game this year. If they win an ACC game, that's automatically a step forward in the right direction. Providence 19, they're a dark horse in the Big East. I really like their goalie, Tate Boyce, Nick Hatzipetrakos at midfield, and Brendan Kearns at attack. They do return a lot of their guys. Watch out for them. And then 20, Villanova. It'll be pretty much neck and neck with them and Providence, so you can take the number 2 spot this year in the Big East. Consideration, Princeton. You have to factor in Austin Sims, healthy. Hopefully he's healthy. Tyler Blaisdell's an underrated goalie in my mind. And this guy named Michael Sowers that we have to take into consideration. Hofstra, we'll see how they are. And a few other teams. I like Robert Morris. I'm gonna say this. Robert Morris might be a dark horse too. A really unsung team, and we'll get in that when we preview the 2018 season in the future crosscast. But Robert Morris, watch out for them.
Colonial, shout out. I went, it's always easy for me to do number one. I would just put the champion until they get, the first loss. So it's kind of easy for me. But anyway, I would put Maryland in there, even if I didn't have that rule, just because they've been in the national championship game the last 3 years in a row. And I really think they have a Miami Hurricanes in the 80s type thing going on right now under Tillman. So I'd see them just rolling. Denver, just another quality team. I think that, they will be in the hunt as always. Final Four. Albany wasn't as high as some people, but I definitely respect what the Danes are doing for number three. Rutgers, number four. I really think they could have a really good year. Duke, number five. Not that I don't share everyone's opinion about how good the Blue Devils are. I just want to see it more. The teams above them, except for Albany, and I guess Rutgers as well. I just think if Rutgers and Duke played, I think Rutgers could give Duke a game. So that's why I put them at five. Syracuse, number six. I still have a sneaking suspicion this is a triple top secret Desco plan with the mumps. Maybe there was one guy who had it, but the rest of it was just he doesn't have to talk to the media for 6 months since the season. And then it's just we're dominant again. They're going to go 12-2 in the regular season and win the ACC. Ohio State 7, just a little bit more, I guess, faith than reason, just because I think Meyer, I think Ohio State, it's going to start becoming a force. I think they have the Midwest area, they have a head start on Michigan, and I think the Buckeyes, maybe there'll be two or three more Trey Leclairs coming up this season. So, I know they lost a lot, and Adam made that point in our pod before, but I still think Ohio State could be, onto something this year. Yale, I actually kind of got shamed into bringing them up to eight. I had them a little bit
lower. Had them lower than other Ivy League teams.
I think Yale is going to be good, and I think they'll be competitive. But I just I'm looking at the top 10. If I had to put money on it, I don't see Yale beating those teams. I think they can. They've obviously beaten Maryland recently, and they play that level. But I think I was high on Princeton. I actually had them. And Princeton tied together before. Like I said, I was shamed into bringing them up. But then you go Towson, same thing you guys saying. I think the captain is just, the type of talent that he's going to attract just is going to increase as he's proving himself to you can come to Towson, you can compete against a really decent schedule, and you can make tournament runs yearly. So I think that's a compelling argument for a lot. As we always say, there's just more kids out there than there are spots. So Penn State, number 10. At one point, Penn State was number one team last year. I think they disappointed in the playoffs, obviously, but I still think that they have a lot of offensive power, and they're going to be a big problem in the Big Ten. Notre Dame, the number 11. Go through these quick. Hopkins, number 12. North Carolina, number 13. I think they're all kind of in the same boat, talented teams, but are they going to be able to knock off the other teams in their conference? Maybe North Carolina, makes another run this year, but I'm with you guys. They've kind of just been a really dominant 500 team for a couple of years. So let's see them produce. Same thing with Hopkins, same thing with Notre Dame. For me, they're all in the same boat. Loyola, Princeton, UVA are 14, 15, 16. Again, same type of, same position. These are tier two or tier three, considering I don't have another Ivy League team. So these are towards the bottom tier of their, the top 15 teams. And a little bit higher than you guys on Providence, and I don't think you guys have Binghamton. They're my 17 and 18 teams. That's kind of my dark horse, I think. I just put them in the light in my top 20s. I'm really high on the Friars, and I think what Coach McCown has done at Binghamton, nothing short of remarkable, just a turnaround in 1 year. BU and Army. I just think, like, you know, the Patriot League's a top conference. It's just like, I just don't see them really pushing the top three, you know, in terms of like getting multiple teams in the top 15 and even to top 10. So, but like they from, you know, towards my bottom of my top 20, I think BU and Army, you know, are still pretty imposing teams. So it should be could be good season in Patriot League. I think it's going to be a really competitive conference. And if Lehigh can make it happen, you know, then you have like four teams and, you know, you'll see what happens. But, you know, we always say they kind of eat up each other once conference play starts, which is really only in 1 month. Patriot League conference play begins because they have, you know, nine teams they have to play. So, mm-hmm. Or nine teams have to play each other.
Mm-hmm. So that is our College Cross 2018 preseason polls. And there's our little reasoning behind everything as well. Throughout the season, we'll always chat about where, who and where we put down everybody. So we'll keep the transparency going, as we like to do here at College Cross.
Transparency and accountability. Those are two pillars.
Absolutely.
Alrighty. So now we're going to go into our year in review. More or less in general. So we got a couple of different segments we're going to talk about. We're going to start off with best game. Now this could be lacrosse, which I think we've all said was Ohio State, Maryland, the Big Ten title game. So we don't have to talk about lacrosse anymore. That was best men's game. Best women's game was, I would say, Maryland, Stony Brook in the NCAA quarterfinals. But those two, I think we've kind of beat around so many times by doing multiple year reviews in lacrosse. So we'll open this up to all sports under best game.
I guess I'll go first. Mm-hmm. Since I was at the game, and I don't think I've even said on here yet, Army-Navy. I was there for CBS doing some TV work as an operations assistant, pretty much getting stats and food for people in the trucks, and also watching the game from the field level. By the way, I got hot chocolate for Allie LaForce, so.
You don't grind, you don't shine. That's what I've learned from Chris.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Young man, like.
Yeah, when Chris is on that national level, you
when
know
I
how he got
CBS
there. Working his way
out with Tony Romo for Sunday Night Football, or, you know, evening game at the link. That's when you know he made it.
By the way, I shook Gary Danielson's hand, and I'm on his good side, so that's a really good sign as well. But on the game format, the fact that I was there and just the pageantry of the game beforehand and even afterward with all the march-ins and the Army and Navy people and the Black Hawk helicopters. They didn't do any flyovers during the game. It would have been like Apaches and a parachuters from the Navy. Would have come down and landed on the field, which would have been awesome, but because of the snow, that never happened. But the game itself, it wasn't like a game that we see with like Oklahoma State or a shootout, offensive shootout, if you know what I'm talking about, but just old school football, just a lot of runs and triple options whatsoever. Still a great game. I mean, Navy lost in a game winning on a field goal chance, and the fact that it was also snowing played a big role in that decision as well. And just being around all the people and the ceremonies and whatnot, being on the field for the alma maters was just bone chilling too. I mean, you just go to Navy side and you see, just be behind like some of the Army guys along with Navy, just singing it together. And then go to the Army side and hearing them and just seeing all like everyone behind you was like, holy crap, this is just amazing. And then taking Rex Tillerson's picture because he asked me to. So you could also add that I was Rex Tillerson's personal photographer for the day. So
that was amazing. That was awesome.
It just happened by chance because I was going back to the our little headquarters, that you could say, like our little trailer, and like, I see this old man, I'm like, is that Rex Tillerson? And he's just shaking hands, and he said, let's get a picture. And then one of the cops is like, yeah, we just need a photographer. And Rex is like, hey.
Kid? Please tell me he said kid. Did he say kid? Hey, kid,
no.
Please. Did he throw in a cell phone or a towel or something? Or is...
No. It was like, he was like, hey, can you take this picture for me? I was like, sure. And like two Philly cops handed their phones. And I added my phone out too to just have the picture. But like it got deleted. But someone else took a picture of me taking the picture. So I'm like, that's good enough.
And then he's like, hey, kid, thanks. And then threw you a Secretary of State fleece.
That would have been great. That would have been
nice, but I shook his hand, so that's enough.
Game of the year for me was probably right off the bat in the second week. The national title game between Alabama and Clemson was just the rematch. Kind of like how the 2016 NBA Finals were the sequel being even better than the original. That was this college football playoff last year, and we'll be treated to a semifinal. Might not be as great this year with this year's semifinal compared to the past few years because it's just so hard to live up. But, you know, the 2016 game when Alabama beat Clemson was a great game, went back and forth. And then this one just upped the ante and was just fun throughout. You know, Alabama and Clemson, I think, you know, have spoiled us into two great title games in a row. And just evenly matched football going back and forth. You know, no team pulling away from the other. And I think this year was just even more fun than the year before just because of the walk-off drive by Deshaun Watson at the end and the game-winning touchdown and everything. You know, both teams bring it all when they play each other, and it was fun to watch. I mean, yeah, you could argue that Ohio State should have been in the playoff this year and all that, but, you know, at least the championship game earlier in the year was just incredible football to watch. So that's my game of the year throughout sports. Also because the Patriots didn't win that, so that disqualifies the Super Bowl. So go with Albany, Alabama Clemson. I don't know why I'm calling Alabama Albany. I guess I do too much of this lacrosse podcast.
Roll Danes.
That game was, that's up there, because I always put, like, USC, Texas, and Miami, Ohio State, the best games ever, and that was quite a memorable championship game with Alabama Clemson. I maybe cliche, but I went with the Super Bowl. I think that, you know how the internet goes. I think there's so many memes, so many like mean-spirited jokes ready to fly at the Patriots, and for that comeback, it was awesome to see.
No, we got more annoying memes than we would have at the Patriots. It got worse. But, no, don't even go that way.
It definitely was like, it wasn't tortoise in the hair type exactly, you know, but like it kind of felt, you know, everyone was just sure, absolutely, and it was right up there with Chris, you would agree, I think, Eagles Giants comeback at the Meadowlands, like in terms of like implausibility and how difficult it seemed at the time. So it was great.
I still have 28-3 muted, I believe.
If you took out the fact it was the Patriots, objectively, that kind of ending is, you know, exactly what you want if your team's not in it, you know. Obviously, if it was the Eagles.
But if it's a favorite against the underdog doing that, I don't know. Especially with a franchise that never won a Super Bowl in the Falcons. So even if you replaced the Patriots with a different team and they were the favorite, I don't know.
But this was all, like, this was all on the Falcons. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like they were getting robbed on calls. Like, you know, like how the movies, you know, there's always, like, some, you know.
The movies
moment.
Don't do this on there's so overwhelming much, you know, favorites doing a comeback, though.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, those kind of movies, like, oh, you know, they're getting robbed by the refs because this glamour team, like, they were destroying New England. And for some reason, they just couldn't get out of their way, and like the Patriots came back. So it was a great game in terms of like just like objectively as a game. Like that was a thrilling game. Went into overtime. I think that was the only overtime.
Yeah, only.
So as soon as they overtime and they made the flip coin flip, like I kind of knew the Patriots were going to win. And then at the end, like we love booing. You know, appropriately in Philadelphia, but the showering of booze I could tell was amazing. It was definitely it was awesome. So I go with the Super Bowl. Shout out to New England and Boston. They gave me that moment. So
all right, best moment of 2017. So is it sports or anything in general? I don't know.
Anything.
Best moment of 2017. Give me I'm going to go twofold. They're both sports related because they're both feel-good stories. I think the Astros winning the World Series after Hurricane Harvey was, you know, a really nice, poignant moment. I know that sports doesn't cure all the ails in the world, but it really did a great job of lifting the spirits of the city of Houston. And, you know, that's a fun. It was a fun young team that was building themselves up to something and pulling it off like that. And that World Series was just great. I mean, my second best game would definitely be World Series Game 5. Was it Game 5 or Game 4, the one that went into extra innings? It was just dingers after dingers.
Might have been Game 4.
Game 4, yeah. That would be my second favorite. I just think that the Clemson-Alabama game was just a little bit better. But that was a great World Series. The ALCS was great as well. You know, and you know, to see them lift the spirits of a city, as you know, it's not going to, baseball isn't going to rebuild homes or pay off your damages or anything like that, but it was a really, you know, nice uplifting moment. And then later on in November in NASCAR, this is, I think, the most underrated sports story of the year, I think, was Martin Truex Jr. winning the NASCAR championship. If you follow NASCAR, he's a driver from the Northeast, running for what was a small team in Furniture Row Racing. They have an alliance with Joe Gibbs Racing, but they're still, you know, two car team this past season. Normally a single car team. They'll go back to a single car team next year. All the other teams are in North Carolina. They're out in Denver, Colorado, kind of going against the grain, and they just caught on fire, and it was, you know, Martin Truex Jr.'s career was kind of left for dead after he left Michael Waltrip Racing after a controversial moment where they, you know, to get into the chase in 2012, I believe it was, one of the drivers intentionally spun out and caused a whole controversy and trickle-down effect, and unfortunately Truex was affected by that, and it looked like his career was taking a downhill turn. He's been in the sport for a while, but never really got to the peaks. But then the 78 team, you know, 2 years ago they made it to the Final Four, but then this year they just had the best car all year. But in addition to all that underdog storiness to it, where the grizzly veteran, you know, finally gets his day on top after so many years of grinding away, and for a small team outside the beaten path, his girlfriend Sherry Pollux had cancer a couple years ago, and she's been a big rallying point in the NASCAR community with her recovery through that and everyone rallying behind her. So that was a big part of it, too. And then crew chief Cole Pern, who's actually Canadian, too, so another going against the grain thing there. One of his best friends died the night before a race that they won. And then during the playoffs themselves, a crew member on the engine building side died the night before a race. And then the team owner 2 weeks before the race suffered a heart attack, you know, thankfully recovered, was in recovery and everything, but missed out on the final race. So that even though the team was dominating on the track, there's a lot of off-track stuff that was, you know, having them overcome adversity. And I think that the way that they dominated all year and came out on top in a playoff system that doesn't necessarily reward the best driver all year ended up being, it was like the ultimate feel-good story. Every angle on it made you feel really good for them. And I think, you know, that was a really underrated sports moment.
I'm going to go with the Jake Elliott 61-yard field goal against the Giants because I was also there. Simple as that. He's his baby. He's our baby.
I'm definitely going Philly-centric. I think it was definitely everyone screaming trust the process. Like, earlier in the season when it was just Ben and Joel out there, and just it was when you feel like, all right, this is really starting to happen. So, just the Sixers in general, and obviously Carson Wentz. That's my best moment.
I forgot also, since I forgot because it happened in January, T.J. McConnell's game win against the Knicks. Also, good for the brand.
Also in hockey, I got to mention the U.S. doing work in the World Juniors and the Women's World Championships, both with walk-off overtime goals against Canada. So there's those two as well. USA, USA, USA. Safe yours?
The best moment?
Yeah.
The Sixers and Eagles.
Alrighty then, best worst prediction of 2017. Let's go with our best predictions. Mine was probably, oh yeah, Maryland's gonna win the national title, and did I pick the Penguins to win the? No. Oh, our hockey predictions.
There we go.
Oh god, our worst was definitely, oh yeah, Blackhawks over the Capitals in the Stanley Cup final. But yeah, best prediction, I would say. Either for me, either saying, yeah, Maryland's going to win the NCAA tournament for once, or, yeah, the Patriots and Steelers are going to ruin everything in the playoffs, and they did, and they will. So, yeah. I think I also have the Astros in the, at least in the ALCS, too, so I could pat myself kind of on the back on that.
Best prediction, trusting the process. Worst prediction was hockey takes, and I mean, sadly, this happened in 2016, but the whole first coach, who would be the first coach that got fired, is currently was, like, really hot because it was Tortorella, and that never happened because he won the coach of the year. Yeah, he won the Jack Adams. Who do we say this year would be the first coach to get fired?
Did we even bother this year on
the first coach? I don't even think we did.
Because we learned last year how bad we were. Well, no, didn't we say Vancouver's coach?
They just got a new coach.
Oh, no, no.
I have no
clue. I've totally forgot who we picked. That would be. But they're probably doing well now, whoever we picked.
Might have been Rick Tocchet, and they're kind of, like, decent. Or Gerald Gallant, and they're, like, holy crap. Oh, that's also a bad take. Thinking Vegas would, well.
Oh, yeah. No, Jake was right. Jake was saying, hey.
Jake was right.
Hey, they're going to surprise you. Just wait. Jake was right.
He's going to love that. If he listens to this, he's got, Jake is at the 47 mark. I'm not sure. Jake was right. My worst prediction? Going to go lacrosse. Definitely Quinnipiac. I thought they were going to. I thought they were going to make
it. Oh, Lord. You did it again with Big Upton, so that seemed wrong, too.
That was bad. That was a rad one. But my best prediction, it's got to be the rise of the Big Ten. Because I remember at the beginning of the year, like, Adam, Jake, and I were still kind of like, not mocked, but like, looked askance when we said, like, you know, watch out for the Big Ten. And then it just actually happened. And then there was two Big Ten teams in the championship game. It was, you know. It was a pretty good call, so I'm proud about that one.
Wait, you know what I totally forgot about for best moment?
Go ahead, shoot.
Number what? 3, Johns Hopkins, 7, unranked Princeton, 8.
I wanted to be a gentleman and let you put
it out. I totally
forgot
about that. I don't know why. Well, best moment, but that might be best meme of the year. I don't know if we did best meme yet, but.
We have not.
Okay, that'll be best meme.
That's unanimous.
I made my own category.
That's unanimous.
Bang.
No discussion.
Okay, biggest surprise of 2017. I will go with biggest surprise of 2017. Let's go with elections still being kind of unpredictable. You know, 2016 was a weird election, and then all the 2017 special elections have been kind of weird as well. So we could go with that on, you know, the current events side of things. But other surprise... let's see. Vegas Golden Knights in hockey. I think Minnesota Timberwolves getting that good that quick. I know it has been building, but them in the NBA. I don't know. know how much of a surprise the Jaguars are. I feel like they were building towards something that was just going to be a matter of them breaking out. Same with the Rams. So I don't know if those two qualify as biggest surprises with the NFL. Biggest surprise, Major League Baseball, the Twins. And the Rockies. And then... Other biggest surprise, I guess... I don't know. There wasn't really any surprises in college football. Maybe Gonzaga finally making a Final Four after all these years of building themselves up as the best mid-major, but then other mid-majors making the Final Four before them, but I don't know.
I would have gone political, but my surprise probably would anger a few people, so I'm not going to really do that.
And as our brand.
Yep. Yes. I just went general, by the way. You notice I did not state any...
Yeah, it was perfect. It was perfectly within bounds.
Say the name. I just had it in my head right now. I guess if we want to go sports, Kyrie saying, hey, LeBron and Cleveland, I want to trade. And I'm like, whoa! Mr. Kyrie wants a trade! And like that means no one wants to play with LeBron, or I'm just... thinking that because he actually wants to be in Philly. Hashtag LeBron's going to go to Philly next year. And then him going to Boston is like another big surprise because that just instantly makes the Celtics a much better team in the East. And that kind of scares me in the Sixers, but I think we'll be able to beat them anyways in a few years, give or take. I guess the biggest thing that happened... I think it's something in sports media. I just forget what it is.
Skipper leaving ESPN?
That was a surprise, but not that one. Nothing with like the sexual harassment things, although that's a big surprise there too.
So not Jamie Horowitz leaving FS1. I mean, everyone knew that was going to be a...
Everyone knew it was going to happen. Crap. What is it?
Costas leaving the Olympics and handing that over to Tirico.
I saw that happening.
Sunday Night Football not getting a Week 17 game.
You know what? Thursday Night Football still going on. That's it.
Oh. Actually, another good one would be Tony Romo actually being an amazing commentator.
That's one, too.
Like, we figured he might be... He would definitely be better than Sims, but, like, Romo being that great of an analyst...
He's been fantastic.
Yeah. I love watching Nance and Romo together.
Oh, here's one. I got it. It's ESPN buying all Fox, 21st Century Fox, and, like, their... Whole regional sports package. ESPN Stein. Yeah, like, nope. What's up, boys? We're still here.
Disney bought them all. But,
Disney, pretty much.
And Fox Sports 1 will stay intact.
Yeah, that's a huge deal. I go biggest surprise. I gotta go Eagles, Chris. I know I'm gonna be total homer here, but like in my delusional homer phase, I was like, yeah, 12-4, 13-3. I can definitely see it, and then for it to actually happen, it's been great, especially just seeing Wentz's development. So I'll definitely go with Eagles. Biggest, non-sports. I knew television and streaming and this way how people were watching stuff was going to make a change, but just how swiftly it's happened, just this past year of how many people are cutting the cable, and just we talk about it a lot. Just we would have in previous years, maybe not like last year and the year before, you would have the TV schedule already in. Whenever these schedules come out, you know what I mean? Hopkins, mm-hmm. You can see, they're playing on ESPN, or you get a good amount of those games and that information by now. In the last couple of years, is just keeps getting pushed into January, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And especially now with this ABC and Fox deal, I wonder if that's going to be good for lacrosse. And I think it potentially could be. We see lacrosse. We see companies investing more in lacrosse, like CBS going in with the NLL. So I think this has been my biggest surprise, just what's happening, the way we consume information and stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see in 2018.
However, we might talk about that a little bit. Yeah, but we both agree that Netflix is on the way down.
Yeah, especially with Disney, with their whole thing.
Because these are like, okay, here are movies you actually do want to watch that are actually really, like, really good. So, you know, Netflix, it's got its niche. There are some shows that are all awesome, but, like, it's really just kind of like, you know, HBO that's detached from the cable. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of, like, producing good stuff. And then they have, like, a lot of, like, a big movie library. Some of the movies are just, you know, eh. And some of them are good. And but, you know, you're not going to get, like, the biggest movie of 2017, like, on Netflix. You know.
You're going to get, like, A minus B plus kind of movies, he would say.
Yeah, every now and then you'd be like, huh. Like when I saw Rogue One, I was like, oh my god, it's gonna. And then I was like, oh, you know, makes sense with
Disney.
The new Star Wars, Star Wars coming in and anticipation and stuff like that. But
also, what was I gonna say? Oh yeah, the Sony getting pulled off is a bad deal too. Bad,
horrible.
Bad,
horrible. Really bad.
I hope horrible.
That's what that and Bob's Burgers. Come on.
Burn to the ground, Netflix. Burn to the ground.
But we're going to get, like, seven more, you know, Marvel, like, universe type of stuff, so.
I'm so tired of those.
That's an upgrade, so. And stop snitching on your viewers what they watch, Netflix. That's just so, that's horrible. Yeah. Confidentiality is important. That's a third pillar of God's Cross. Accountability, transparency, and confidentiality.
Next, most important storyline in the short term. In what, sports or real life?
Lacrosse.
Lacrosse?
Lacrosse, yeah.
Most important storyline in lacrosse.
I'll go to give you guys a heads up, because I had, just when I was looking at this.
Big time.
No, we already know. We're still living in it. So it's not, you don't need to worry about it in the short term. The early recruiting situation, if the NCAA just makes the universal rule, we'll put a link into this in show notes, but, like, you know, there's going to be, like, a universal rule where, like, coaches and recruits can talk to each other by, like, sophomore year, and that'll be in conflict with the lacrosse specific rule of, like, no contact at all before your junior year. And it'll be interesting to see what happens, like, if they can carve out and keep the lacrosse exemption, that'll be interesting. And maybe there are some people who were all for it and said, oh, you know, maybe we can do it at sophomore year. And you see, well, I wonder if you'll see not people break apart, but, like, in terms of, like, maybe rethink, like, oh, you know, it could be started sophomore year instead of junior year, and we'll see how many hardliners there are. So it'll be, I think, to me, for lacrosse, that's going to be the most important storyline in terms of, you know, I don't really care about recruiting that much, but it is a huge topic. So I kind of thought, like, you know, the first solution for a problem is not for, like, more NCAA regulations, you know what I mean? Like, people will find a way, like, it's just, like, and you get a lot of unintended consequences. So, we'll see, like, if lacrosse is able to carve out this one exemption for them to have a, you know, a junior year start date for terms of contact. So, that's my most important storyline.
I'd say that, too. Maybe the growth of the sport locally, like, in this area, you could, like, say Bonaventure and maybe Cleveland State, maybe to say, like, hey, like, there's still teams that are popping up, maybe we might see some more teams over in a little bit, but that also might be a long term, which I'll get to in a little bit.
Biggest short term important storyline, I'd say in the women's game, the changing on the fly and other rules, and also getting rid of the freeze tag effect is going to be very interesting to see in 2018. The game was getting there with the shot clock and the other rule improvements this year, and it's going to be taking up another notch in 2018. So that's going to be something fun to look at.
And the ability to have mesh in your stick. Head now too with the women. No more traditional, only traditional.
Ryan, and not to put you on the spot, but kinda, just because you have the most knowledge on women's lacrosse.
I did manage to varsity girls lacrosse for a year at high school.
I mean,
and he talked to women.
my main point is, if 5'10", 15, where would you put helmets in lacrosse, if ever? As a majority of D1 college player. Like, make it as specific as possible, you know?
I think, look, I know the, you know, women's lacrosse players that I talk to are kind of mixed on it. Because on one hand, it's, you know, the obvious thing is preventing concussions, which is an important thing. You know, as much as we like to say, you know, lacrosse is going to take advantage of football and CTE and everything, there's still concussions in lacrosse. There's concussions in every sport, more or less. If you have motion, and I know football and hockey are at the forefront of it, because it's more contact and everything, but lacrosse is an alternative, soccer is an alternative, there's still concussions in those, especially in lacrosse. So, on one hand, if it's anything that cuts down on concussions, that would be great. But on the other hand, there's a lot of, you know, women's lacrosse players that don't want the introduction of helmets because then the game's going to get too physical. There's that kind of like that line where on one hand, us as outsiders would like to see the women's game more like the men, more contact, you know, more equal ground and everything. But the issue is, too, is that women's lacrosse also takes pride in the finesse of it all compared to the men's game. Whereas the men's game's a little bit more brute force, the women's game's more about finesse and speed. And the worry is that throwing the helmets on is going to cause way more checks to the head because, oh, now I'm at this point where, hey, you're wearing padding, that's going to make me want to, you know, throw more stick checks. I think the happy medium that we're seeing is maybe with these smaller helmets. I don't think full helmets is going to be the way to go with the men's helmets because then there's going to be, you're introducing way too much checking to the head.
Mm-hmm.
I think the bicycle helmet hybrid that's been going around, like the goggle hybrid where it's the goggles plus the small helmet, I think that's going to be the way to go. Because it'll help cut down on concussions, but at the same time, you're not encouraging someone to throw a check directly into somebody's face because they're still exposed, you know, in the cheek and mouth area. So that's going to dissuade you from trying to throw a check towards the head because you're all covered up like in the men's game. I mean, as an attackman, I couldn't tell you how many times I've been whacked in the head by a defender wearing a full mask. So, especially where if we're seeing cases like in soccer where, you know, concussions are much higher in, for instance, in girls' soccer than boys' soccer in the youth level. Now, part of that's also because participation in girls' soccer is higher than boys' soccer. But even still, you don't want to take that risk of, you know, for, you know, sacrificing safety on it. So I think the hybrid is going to be the way to go because I think there's still that split of, you know, yes, we want to protect ourselves against concussions, but at the same time, we don't want to take the beauty of the women's game away where, yes, it would be nice to be, you know, the women's sport being seen as an equal to the men's sport. But I think with the rule changes that are going on now, you're taking away the blatantly sexist parts that were developed a century ago. You're taking out all the things that were slowing the game down. But keeping it a unique thing where it's all about finesse and speed and technical skill rather than the brute force and physicality of the men's game that I think a lot of women's lacrosse players don't want to see the sport go. They don't want to see it, you know, become an overly physical sport and taken away from this, from the speed of the game.
I think this may be another important short term, you know, like next few months. I just like New York Times keeps writing about women's lacrosse and helmets, you know. I think it's going to be more prevalent of an issue that people are going to talk about. And I think because you're going to, it's just, people are going to play faster. And I think there may be some situations that are unfortunate, some collisions, and, you know, it's just, that's the biggest thing. That's my main thing. It's just like, I get it. I think the rules should be as they are. You know, if you don't want to check and girls across, I totally hear you, and they should have their rules in their sport. But, like, passes and getting hit by sticks, and I think those are the issues. And that's why, you know, a lot of this research are showing that there's a lot. People try to kind of downplay it. Oh, you know, there's not that many people get hit by balls. I was like, it's actually one of the highest reasons why people get concussions in women's lacrosse. So I think that's going to – But if you, Ryan, if you like know more, like I said, this hybrid helmet may be the more preferred choice. But like I just said, as an issue, I definitely think women's lacrosse and helmets are going to be kind of something you're going to talk about. You're going to hear more. Mm-hmm. Just because, especially with Florida having this situation where they're making it mandatory. So those kids then go to college. Mm-hmm. If and when those kids go to college, like they're more likely than not going to be wanting to play on teams that where it's at least an option, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I think you'll see it as I think it'll be an option for, I think it should be an option for teams going forward. If you want to wear it, go right ahead. If not, no harm, no foul. But I want to see the sport as a whole progress first before we discuss in a serious topic helmets in women's lacrosse. I mean, we still have the shot clock is great, the mesh heads are great, and the less freeze tag are great too. We just need to, I just need to see as a spectator, and Ryan, you as well, probably you too, watching some of these games. I just want to see how these new rules translate, and if so, what action do we need to take next for this sport, for women's lacrosse in general, if we need helmets or not. And I get why maybe it's helmets are mixed reviews, because they, you know, it's you. If you want to be physical, then you might need a helmet, but I don't really think it's that. I don't think the physicality really for women's lacrosse with helmet is going to change if then right now with a helmet or without a helmet, excuse me. I think where it's at, it's not really that physical, and if so, I think the only concussions you really get are from errant passes and maybe, like, accidental bumps or collisions. So, we just have to figure out the overall sport for women's lacrosse at first. But I could see, I think it should be an option for all women in every facet of college lacrosse.
Just to jump in. Brown is the first D1 to require them.
Yeah, I have a feeling like the Ivy is going to require it, but if there's any conference that's going to require it, it's going to be the Ivy, because remember, the Ivy League's kind of taken the forefront in football concussion safety with the practices and everything, so I could definitely see the Ivy League mandating it.
Yeah, conference-wide, absolutely, I think. And then that's going to have a cascading effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So next up will be the biggest story that will change lacrosse in 2018 and maybe beyond. So talking more long term.
So Ryan, would you say that that's your long term issue, what we just discussed?
A bit. But I think long term is going to be concussions in general. So maybe, but yeah. I would say concussions in general, because I think on the men's game we haven't learned enough about concussions in men's lacrosse like we have in other sports. Because I think we're kind of getting into that cascading effect. All the focus was on football. Now we're starting to see it kind of whittle down a little bit more into other sports. And if we're going to be throwing around men's lacrosse and men's soccer, you know, boys lacrosse, boys soccer, as a safe alternative to football, we also got to talk about, though, the risks that come with it, because
are they going to outlaw headers or without, right? Or at least for youth players?
I don't know. Maybe for youth. But
some places.
I thought that was implemented in some places.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I think that in order for us to promote this sport as a great alternative for football, we got to know about the inherent dangers of lacrosse itself. You know, we got to remind, you know, we got to see how many kids or players are getting concussed. We have to see where helmet safety stands, you know, which helmets are safer than others. Are they doing their jobs? You also got to make sure, you know, kids are wearing their chest protectors and stuff. You know, kids could get killed getting hit with playing goalie, getting hit with a hard shot, and they're not wearing a chest protector. They go into cardiac arrest. So there's still some inherent dangers to the sport of lacrosse that we kind of need to do a little research and address before we go throwing it around as, hey, you know, football's got all these issues with CTE and everything. Come play our sport. We got to still address some of our own dangerous issues.
Yeah, I mean, going to that cardiac arrest thing, there is, I know we put in the prospectus, I think about a week ago, There's a kid who was playing goalie, and he just had a shot to this chest, and it wasn't really like that hard of a shot. It's more like a medium or lob kind of shot, and it just hit his chest not that hard, and all of a sudden he just died. So chest protectors are a big thing. Just overall, maybe, to your point, Ryan, how the equipment is in general to make sure, like, hey, are all of our players that are playing this sport going to be fine, or are they safe? Or are there any, like, safety precautions? The helmets thing for me, I believe last year, if I'm right, that when they got recalled, all of them pretty much, except for the ugly Stallions, and then they had their little issue too with when Balcom got a ball right through his face mask early in the spring. So that's a big issue there too, because there's maybe a little bit less of there's more of a concern, I should say, with helmets and in equipment in general.
I kind of touched on questions and stuff with helmets for, I think I said, more immediate, short term, you know, next 6 months or something. I think, like, biggest lacrosse story long term, it's probably going to be where Utah goes in terms of, like, what conference. Because if they make their own, if they join ACC, if they join the Big East, and it will be really interesting, because it could be ripple effects. You know, obviously, if they somehow make something, they can make some Western teams, them, Air Force, Denver, and, you know, if they could get maybe one or two other SoCon teams, and maybe Bellarmine in Kentucky. You know, it's not West, but, you know, it's a little bit closer than some of the other non-big-time teams. Like, it will be interesting where Utah goes, and I think they'll make other conferences think, like, because if Denver ever kind of did leave to make some type of Western thing, you know, it will be interesting who the Big East can pick up, or if a team that's a natural Big East team creates men's program. So I think, like, where Utah ends up is going to be kind of like the biggest college lacrosse story for, like, 2018.
Since you got mine safe, I got another one too, and I am just smirking and rubbing my hands like an evil, like Dr. Evil. What in God's name is Major League Lacrosse going to do with a new commissioner? Posted this literally a week ago, or actually a few days ago, on College Cross, about a year later, literally a year to the day that David Gross announced that he was stepping down as commissioner at the end of the 2017 season, he's still the MLL commissioner, which makes no sense, and it shows how bad the league has become marketing itself as a product, I mean, as an off-field product. Not on-field product, fine, but off the field, it's been building up, and there's been discontent with players, coaches, fans in general, especially outsiders like me who just has been ripping on the league, but I try to want to see it maybe have a professional league, but maybe it's not right where it is. There's been some talks that I've heard that maybe there could be a big overhaul. I'm not going to say what, but a big overhaul maybe soon with MLL.
Dropping teases. I love it.
Indeed. Talked to a few people that are close with MLL teams, and they said that they have no clue who's going to be the next commissioner. And David Gross is on the, from what I've heard, he's on the commissioner search board, and it's been a year, and there's been nothing. Dave Cottle's name's been thrown out, and now he's the coach of the Bayhawks again. Mark Burdett's name's been thrown out, and now he's trying to find out how to make a big Chesapeake Bayhawks village possible, even though some people don't want it. And I don't know why that's even being considered, because how stable the league is right now is, like, if this thing happens and the league folds, then you're going to have this, and hopefully have a backup plan to make it a public area. But nevertheless, I think how the state of Major League Lacrosse is, specifically David Gross leading, and what they're going to do. I wonder if the... I mentioned this. I know Paul Ramel was a name being thrown out there, but he doesn't want to step down or stop playing and be a commissioner, or just do double duty and be a commissioner and play. I wonder if the data breach back in August really hurt their chances, because we heard that, hey, they're close, and we heard it again, they're close, but there's been no public update. And we're not even sure. I know someone out in the lacrosse world, I'm not going to say their name because some people don't like him on our site, but some people have said that Gross is not going to leave because he's got LSN, which, by the way, I have other heated things too, that they might need an overhaul too if they want to survive, because the fact that Dave Collins called them a channel that has under 4,000 subscribers was just a hot take shot, and that's how that's pretty much how heated MLL is, because there's just people fighting each other inside the league, and there's no really like solutions to it. So David Gross, what happens after whenever they name a new leader, and if he stays on there for the time being, then what's going to be the reaction?
I guess one other thing that I'm interested in seeing, are we finally going to have in 2018 an answer to our shot clock question?
Ooh, yeah.
Who knows? We shall see. All right, so next up, the best non-college cross Twitter account. Does this have to be lacrosse related or in general?
I guess in general.
Yeah, no, I think this was before we melded into one, I think. But let's just make it general.
Let's see.
I'm going to go with Max Rapoport. His Twitter handle is at Max on Twitter. Big Sixers guy. He has fire memes, and he also writes for Complex and Bleacher Report, and does a Step Over, the Step Over podcast, and does T-shirts by the same name, Step Over Tees. Follow him and Mike Levin.
Let Safe go first, because I'm trying to think of mine.
Best Twitter account. It's tough, actually. Best knowledge. Brian, do you have?
I'll go with whatever league he's deciding, league or political movement he's deciding on this day, Insider Dinger at ATF, yes. 13 ATF. He's a member of a message board I'm at, and like nobody knew. He doesn't really like at that message board make himself that much known, but then he followed like all of us that are on that website. And then I discovered his Twitter account because of someone retweeting it from that website. And holy crap, his Twitter persona is something else. It's the greatest sports making fun of everything account ever. Sometimes that was into politics, which you could ignore. But man, the sports takes are the greatest. The sports takes are the absolute greatest on that account.
I guess mine's a little different because I just kind of see what you guys send, because like I only have 49 followers. I only follow 49 accounts on my own account, and a lot of them are you guys. And then like on the college cross accounts, overwhelmingly lacrosse. But I guess some of their followers and stuff, but, like shout out Jack Coyne. Like sometimes he has some GIFs that are just hilarious. Keith Boney is the shout out to West Virginia, in Southwest Virginia area. So those are two of I guess my favorite ones. You know, besides like, you know, Jake, you, Chris, Ryan, obviously, like shout out Marissa will just like drop a bomb on somebody, you know, just like a sports reference. So you know, they're awesome. And obviously Adam left his all of his culture, movie, film takes, TV as well. So he's, you know, college family. I know that's cheap, but I love your non-lacrosse content. Let's put it that way. That's how I'll sneak it in.
Speaking of Adam,
shout out to the darts.
Yes, the darts. Speaking of Adam, breaking news here. Rose Marie, best known for her role as Sally Rogers on the Dick Van Dyke Show, has died at the age of 94.
I told my parents that, and they both thought she was dead 30 years ago. Well, And on that note, we'll go on to the next topic. Who was the 2017 MVP?
Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I was going to just, I didn't want to steal the thunder. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because he was the champion we were promised. It's definitely Carson Wentz.
If you guys get to be biased, I'm going to go biased and go with Harry Kane. He scored more goals for club and country than Messi and Ronaldo. So, Harry Kane, I guess. Next up, let's add one more, which is going to be best music of the year, pop culture stuff. So, best songs and movies. I did not see any movies, so I could skip that part. But best music. Gonna go bias with the hometown band. Best album of the year, by far, because Arcade Fire continues to disappoint me in not making things that are not sounding like they're crap from Reflector by making it even worse with Everything Now. In the album, the song is actually pretty good, but they're continuing to disappoint me by going further and further away from Funeral and Neon Bible in the Suburbs, so by default, and actually a very good album, Brand New Science Fiction, definitely the album of the year in my opinion. Yes, I know about some things that the lead singer, Lisa Lacey, came out with later in the year, but still doesn't change my opinion that album of the year.
I'm not a big album guy. I just
yes. I got nothing.
But I guess if we had to talk about albums, 444 was, there was like a couple good tracks, but they're like, everything else is like okay. What happened this year? I don't know what happened this year.
What your best song of the year?
That's a lot easier.
Okay, go with best song. For best song, I'll go with the FIFA 17 banger, Comeback Kid by Kasabian. I know I'm going British all here, but that song is a banger. It wasn't really that great of a year for music, though. I will say that.
Not really.
I really don't have that many 2017 songs on my iTunes, even. Yeah, not at all.
I don't eat, yeah.
Movie's easy is Dunkirk. That's the best movie of the year. And I know, like, Lady Bird and all these other ones are going to try to sneak in, but Dunkirk's the best movie of the year, period.
I would agree with that, even though I don't see movies. I got to say, I guess, because I'm looking at my library, it's, like, mixed with, like, 2017 and, like, old music, too, because I added a lot of old music. By the way, speaking of music, RIP Chris Cornell and Chester Bennington, who we lost this year, and others that we lost, too. I guess, I don't know. Wow. I don't know. You know what I liked? The Star of OJ by Jay-Z on 444. That's an underrated song, and I can't believe it didn't get a lot of plays on the radio.
You know what's funny? I generally like Jay-Z's stuff, but I didn't really hear anything out of 444 that really stuck out to me at all.
The only thing I heard was like Kill Jay-Z, the opening track from 444. That was like for like a few weeks, maybe like the title track from the album 444 and like Sirius XM.
That's another thing. I mean, it was disappointing. Barely anything from. Yeah, it was a disappointing year for rock. It was a disappointing year in rap too. I mean, I didn't really enjoy Kendrick Lamar's.
Damn, I mean, Meek's in jail, so people. That's already disappointing from there.
But I'm saying like everyone gave Kendrick Lamar a lot of publicity and rave reviews for his stuff, but it didn't really stick with me. Maybe because I like a different type of rap style than that. His is a little bit more in your face and not really going with the tune of the song. He's more raw, I guess. So I guess it wasn't really the style that I listened to. But yeah, it wasn't really that great of a year of music. It comes down to that.
I agree with that, yeah.
Pop music all sounds the same, even more so than ever before. And
Bodak Yellow was good. I like Bodak Yellow. The Cardi B.
not really a great year for music. And movies, yeah, we'll go with Dunkirk. I don't watch movies, but Dunkirk looked good.
Shout out to the Black and Blue Jay Confidential. You can get all the movie takes there.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to best lacrosse Twitter beef. I'm going to go with Chris versus everybody that's not on our staff.
Let's go! I like to go a little bit more narrower. I like to say me against Lax Film Room and anyone that decided to like say that he's a great guy. String King.
God, you're continuing this, aren't you?
That's the resolution. That's the one that was the one I was going to allow. That's
never forget.
I feel like this one was like the most to the point, I guess. We can't forget about, though, Jake Nazar versus 1987 sucks.
Oh, classic one.
Some great ones between those two of our faves.
Jake and Eamon occasionally.
God. Oh, you know what was good, too? Since I like to beat his horse, Anish against LFR.
Alrighty. I was trying to play nice, and you're going all agenda again. Oh, well.
The agenda!
This is the second long block of silence that they're going to hear. The Ghost Girls cast. The mummers said their Twitter beef is going to be taken out in post-production.
No, it's not. I don't have time to post-produce. Safe. You want to be diplomatic at all with anything? Or
I think the best Twitter beef is the one that you can share with all your friends and eat. So I just made a play on words on beef to move this right along to the thing that everyone is here for. Chris rips Jake and Ryan about
if you listen to the podcast last week, we ripped Chris on his cheesesteaks and the national championship game. So to make it up for him a little bit, we're going to give him the floor. So apologies again, Chris. Sorry we're not sorry, because we did have a lot of fun in that segment, especially if you need to listen to one segment of that part. It's Jake and I reading the Toby Keith's I Love This Bar and Grill menu. It is a work of art. If you haven't listened to it already, listen to the final 15 minutes. It is the greatest 15 minutes in CrossCast history, in our opinion. But so, to be fair to our bud Chris, he is a great guy, and I felt a little bit bad for him because he is a good guy inside. We'll give him the floor. Outside. Yes, and outside too.
As I'm hyperlinking that Jake and Ryan's pod into the show notes so everyone can get context. Chris, I just want to say sweep the leg. So.
And as host of the show, I do get a rebuttal at the end, though. So.
Fine. Go. All right, Ryan, play my music.
That I will do. I got it up. I will start playing
hit that beat, DJ.
Yes, 3, 2, let's go. All right. 3 minutes and 23 seconds, let's go.
All right, listen. My cheesesteak rankings. Jake and Ryan don't know anything about cheesesteaks whatsoever. You know why? Because one's from Maryland, and the other one is from Long Island. Do you know how much I hate about Long Island? Everything. If I could eat anything for 5 weeks and just go over it with a bunch of, like, my own whatever, you know what I'm talking about, I would definitely do it all over the Long Island Turnpike, Expressway, whatever. Long Island and Maryland is very bad. Maryland also bad. Listen, do not make fun of my cheesesteaks. The cheesesteak rankings are perfect, even though they might be favorable to some and really biased. It's not biased whatsoever. None of you that are listening to this, maybe a couple, but still none of you do not know what a good cheesesteak is until you read my rankings. Even if you want to make fun of me, that's fine, but you know what? You're missing out on all the fun. You're missing out on all the fun. Especially you, Jake, who doesn't know what a cheesesteak is. You're just eating crab cakes and thinks all the crab cakes are fine and normal. And Ryan, you have pizza, and you eat Sparrow, and you think Sparrow is the greatest thing of all time.
Oh, we have bagels.
Finally, Major League Lacrosse draft. You know, guess what? Just like Ryan talks to women, I have friends, too, that are professional lacrosse players. And you know what? I wanted to support them, even if I had to go one-on-one, mano-a-mano, with my enemy. Yes, you know, I just mentioned him. I'm not going to say his name anymore, because yeah, just like other people.
You're this guy out,
right? You got about 6 hours left before the new
year. Listen. I have friends. Even though I went to probably one of the worst restaurants at Patriot Place, Toby Keith's, I love this bar and grill. I avoided the following. A good lacrosse game, obviously. Really bad food at Gillette Stadium, no doubt, because the food there was bad. And I guess that's it. But still, I saw my friends. I'm happy that I saw Serge get drafted. It was a proud moment for me. I stood face-to-face against David Gross, who's still some of the MLL commissioner. And I saw Jordan Evans, who somehow was forced inside the waiting room for 3 rounds, even though he wasn't going to get drafted. And Jordan did not want to be there anymore, so he left, and I left with him because I didn't want to be there anymore because it emptied out. So listen, do not rip on me again, or else you get this really, really god-awful rebuttal from me, and I'll go off to other tangents and try to rip on name that shall not be said. There we go. Thank you, folks. Go Birds! Jake Allen's our baby, so is Nick Foles.
Did you have an American Patriot, though?
What?
Did you at least have the American Patriot? The the cheeseburger named the American Patriot.
Actually, I didn't have anything there.
Oh. You heard the rant about the menu, at least. That was the greatest.
I definitely did.
Okay, fair enough. I was expecting way more savage than that, but...
This is a family friendly
other people too, but I think you would have.
We're not going to make it weird. We're just saying a playful joke. can't poison the atmosphere going into 2018. Yeah, that was fair. Fairly done.
Yeah, no, look, I gave you the floor. You had all the opportunities you could to, you know, get at me, so no worries. So yeah, that's about it. 2017. It happened.
A crisp 99 minutes.
Yep. Actually, we're at 90 right now. We're actually hitting 92 now. But that's okay.
I gotta fix the timestamp. So.
Oh, well. Anyway, thanks for listening all throughout the year. As we head into January, we're going to start doing some season previews pretty soon. Lacrosse season's right around the corner, guys.
Oh, thank God. Thank God.
No more doing so these excited. Vanity crosscasts. So
it's
gonna
be a fun season. I think we're gonna have some. I think you saw if you listened to pods and our pods. The Black and Blue Podfidential, Black and Blue J Podfidential from Safe and Adam. I think we'll have some more of those. I hope.
Yeah,
Ryan, Jake, you'll have some as well.
Did it do numbers, Ryan? You know that's me. That's what I care about.
Big numbers.
Yes, he did. Yours did more better numbers than Jake and I, because Jake and I was clearly just doing it for our own self-fulfillment.
Wait, I could hear that. What?
Yeah, Jake and I just did ours for self-fulfillment. You guys brought some numbers onto it. Don't worry. I've got some little boxes projects in the works, finally. Perfect.
The Blue Jay Nation.
Just wait till Chris and I do the Syracuse Orange one.
That's the one. We need to embrace the brand.
Chris can do it, though.
Indeed.
Even if it's micro pod 20, 30 minutes, like Orange, like people want it. I'm telling you.
Absolutely. And I think there might be a few others coming. I might have a bigger project on the way that might engulf in the entire season. Just keep an eye out on that as time progresses, and maybe when spring practices maybe begin, you might see something else pop up occasionally.
Is you're trying to steal thunder away from Inside Lacrosse's the season is what you're getting at for Syracuse fans. Am I right or am I wrong?
It's the day in the life.
I'm really looking forward to this inside lacrosse thing. I can see you trying to steal their thunder.
You're wrong on that, actually.
Okay, good, because I am looking forward to the inside lacrosse of the season. So.
Well, by the way, it's actually from STX, and Inside Lacrosse, from what I've heard, isn't making any money off of it, so.
No, that's all right. If it's good content, it's good content.
It is good content.
Good.
It's perfect.
Before we do our proper goodbyes, shout out to two of our new voters in our polls this year. Jack Goods did excellent work at Anonymous Eagle. He's now at the Buffalo News. And shout out to fellow law boy James Simmons, writes primarily for Troy Nunez. I don't know how you say Nunez. Troy Nunez. Great work writing about Orange. They're going to be. They jumped on. They're on our preseason poll. Just wanted to give a specific shout out to them. Obviously, everybody else, you know, the family. But it's going to be fun to have them involved. The comment section were exactly what I was hoping for. You know, almost mid-season form before we even get into 2018. It was great to see.
By the way, I think safe. I'm going to correct you with the Jack's work. He's actually with MUI or Marquette University Wire, not Anonymous Eagle, but they have good people there too. Shout out Anonymous Eagle and Brewer Turn Andy.
Didn't he do some Anonymous Eagle?
He might have, so you were kind of right too, but I know did something.
I think you're totally right. Maybe it's just the Wire. For some reason, I thought he was also with Anonymous Eagle. But shout out Anonymous Eagle and all the Marquette Nation.
As usual, follow us on Twitter. I'm at RyanMcD29.
I'm at CF Jastrzemski.
Folks, I am at @Erie_Barrister.
And @College_Cross is...
Oh, that we missed that. Yeah. Guys, we missed that. The most important storyline short term is us
changing the name.
That was the most serendipitous move. Like, before there's all this stuff, and we don't need to get into this, happened in the last few months. Moving away from sexy time. like it's a serendipitous move in hindsight. So shout out to Luke for giving us that talk, that really frank brand talk that we needed. Yes. So it was.
Thank you, Princeton Lacrosse, for still treating us at Sexy Time Lacks. I think they rectified that next time.
I think it was like I had to shout out to Westcott. Apparently, he's like SBN Nations, and like we changed everything on the Twitter end.
No.
That was Eamon.
That's why we changed it, because Princeton was like at Sexy Time Lacks. Like, wait, this looks kind of weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Alrighty,
and Eamon tweeted that too. That was like when they did like the show. That was great.
Everyone's tagging us in pictures. I tell you, it ended up being a great move. Yes. A wonderful move.
And a wonderful move is also subscribing to us on iTunes and Google Play at College Crosscast. You get College Crosscast as well as all our other podcasts.
And season's coming. Yeah. Season's coming.
Subscribe. We got a lot of good stuff. We got Adam.
There's preseason games in 3 weeks.
Yeah, we got Adam and Safe with the hockey stuff. We got Chris is going to be up to something. I'm whipping up something. Jacob, Marissa, and Adam, and everybody else might be whipping up stuff. So follow along on that. Otherwise, leave a review as well. Otherwise, stick to collegecross.com for all the latest news and analysis in the lacrosse world. Hope you have a very happy new year.
Happy new year, everyone.
Happy new year. What are your resolutions,
Andy? 2017, you're a wild one. You're a wild one.
Resolutions? Quick resolutions, anyone?
I just ended the song and everything, but resolutions, I don't know. I always do the keep on keeping on resolution. Might as well keep on keeping on with that.
Just be a better person.
Mine is to get a job.
That's a good one.
College.
Hire Chris. We're starting the campaign now. Hire Chris.
Folks, I graduated May.
Hire Chris.
If you're an employer, communications employer, please, your boy needs a job.
Shout out your boy, Kyle Scott. Let's have some talks. Chris needs you to talk to his agent. So, anybody out there, hire the kid. If you want good content, hire the kid.
And if you also need a good resolution, stay hydrated.